I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice that I hear falling on my ear, the sun of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of His voice, it's so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gives to me within my heart, it's ringing. I stay in the garden with Him. And He bids me to go through the voice of the woe. His voice, I hear Him calling. Oh, He walks with me, talks with me. He walks with me, talks with me. He tells me I am His own. Oh, yes, I am. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
Joy we share and we tell. And he does walk with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I'm his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. Does anybody, when you're by yourself, do you walk and talk with Jesus? Amen. Does anybody in here walk and talk with Jesus Christ? Amen. That's better. Amen. He's worthy of all the glory. He is worthy of all of the praise. And I thank God for my wife just singing that song. Amen. And amen. That was one of my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law, Mother Willa Jean. She used to sing that song. Amen. And I'm telling you, it was one of my favorites just to hear them talk about the garden, in that garden, that place where only Christ can get. Amen. So we thank God for that. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to the book of Exodus. Amen. The book of Exodus. Beginning in the second chapter, we will commence in your hearing. Amen. Thank God for our men. Amen. Amen. Behind me. Thank God for them. In Exodus chapter 2 says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was goodly, a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And the sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother." Amen. "And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.'" So not only did she get to nurse her own child, but she got paid to do it. Amen. Would any women like to get paid for what they do at home? "And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought unto him, unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" We're going to stop right there. Amen. Just want to talk about this morning the influence of a godly mother. The influence of a godly mother, and I have a subtitle, amen, that says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. That's just a subtitle, and we know that was a movie, amen, at one time, but it's also applicable to the Word of God, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, amen. But the main title is "The Influence of a Godly Mother." That's the main title. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you and we honor you to know that you alone are God. You alone are good. You alone are faithful. You're awesome even in all your ways. So we thank you for right now. We thank you for this time. Oh God, that you would just continue to just set the very atmosphere in this place, even in our hearts. God, that you would just, Lord, that there will be a Holy Spirit, a Holy Ghost takeover in this place. Lord, not unto the shout, but unto just a heart that's contrition and conditioned by your word, that the word will be engrafted even in our hearts to meet the need of what's going wrong in the world, to meet the need of insecurity or invalidation, to meet the need of somebody longing or somebody missing a mother or missing a child, even on this day. God, you're our need meter. You're a heavy load, you're a heavy load sharer. You're a heart fixer, oh God, and you are a mind regulator. Crucify my flesh. Oh God, help me not to speak out of me, but God, that your spirit will just reign rule in this place, that you will have your way. The enemy is under our feet. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name and for sake we pray. Amen. 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 Thank God for this text. And I'm going to give you guys some forewarning. We will be also turning to Mark chapter 4, somewhere around about the 13th verse, somewhere around in there. We will be turning to Mark chapter 4. Amen. And we thank God for this passage of Moses, of Exodus, and we see the shaping of Moses. We see the grounding of Moses and all that he was as a man and where this thing started at. And we all know that his mother was named, you don't see his mother's name mentioned in chapter 2. But I believe in chapter 6, you see the mother's name mentioned of Moses, which is Jochebed, J-O-C-H-E-B-E-D. And you see the father's name, which was Amram. And they were both descendants of, they were Levites. And how many know that Moses was really like a type of Christ? Amen? And like Christ, he too barely escaped his life. With his life as an infant. Like Christ, he was a shepherd that spent 40 years in the on the backside of the Midian desert. Like Christ, he led people that were in bondage and enslaved under Egyptian taskmasters. He led them to freedom, amen, even through the wilderness. And that is why Satan did all he could to destroy Moses, even before he became born. He wanted to snuff out all the Hebrew boys. And the same spirit was going on in Christ's day, where King Herod, an insecurity that breathes in the hearts of men. And thank God for Daniel. Y'all, you're going to hear me mention Daniel, because Nebuchadnezzar was also insecure. But God had to deal with the hearts of the king. God had to deal with the hearts of leaders. And how many know the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord? Whether they're saved or not. Some of them ain't saved. Even Putin. Guess what? His heart is in God's hands. And God can do what he wants to do. The heart of Pharaoh was in God's hand. And guess what, y'all? Pharaoh had a chance to repent. He had an opportunity to repent. But guess what? Because he refused, God hardened his heart. Amen? And we see here, this is why Pharaoh tried to take these children out. And here, and if you can just back up a chapter in Exodus 1, 15. Amen? We thank God for two women named Shipra and Puah. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But they were midwives that feared God in your same text. In chapter 1. And verse 18 says of chapter 1. Well, let me back up. The verse 17 says, but the midwives feared God, and they did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king, because there was a decree to kill all the young babies, boys, they said, even after they were born, right after they're born, when these midwives deliver these children, they wanted to, they said, kill them or drown them in the Nile. Amen. And when you see what's going on a political front, the devil is after our children. And he's after, listen, and I know we're talking about abortion rights and all this stuff. Amen. But guess what? Let's not wait till the girl gets to the clinic. But let's deal with our young women before they get there. That we may train them to know somebody loves them. Even before they get in the bed with somebody, some old joker. Amen. Guess what? We've got to train our young girls in the Lord. Amen. And guess what? I'm not going to get into the whole what's going on the political front. But listen, we need to know God is still in control. And God is still speaking through all that's going on. Even this lady who killed her children, even up in Newtown. God is speaking, y'all. He's speaking loud and clear. And he says over and over again, I'm a broken record and I'm going to say it again. The day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. But these two women, they fear God. Amen. And the king of Egypt in verse 18 of chapter 1 called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing? Why have you saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women, guess what? They're not like Egyptian women. They're not like Egypt. They are lively. And they are delivered air. That means they deliver fast. And the midwives come in and the child is already out and they're gone. Amen. And when they said that they are lively, that means they bear quickly. They have vigor and they have life. Amen. And but even more than a physical killing of our children in America or in our inner cities, the devil is after their identity. And that's what we see now, where the enemy is after to take our children out. He's after their spiritual identity. Amen. Amen. And now more than ever, there are forces at work seeking to destroy the family and what God has instituted, amen, of the family, the fabric of the family, what God has in, and when God told Adam, amen, for this cause shall a man leave his what? Mother and his father, and he shall be joined to his wife. Amen. The Bible says that the first marriage was performed by God. Amen. And the fabric of the family is under attack. It is. It's under attack. Man, and listen, I pray that God allows me to preach this the way he broke my heart. And here we go again, right? Where I was studying and God had to break my heart to show me what's important. And the church is not more important than my family. Amen. All my business ripping and running is not more important than my children and my wife. And he had to show me. He had to show me the mirror, because sometimes I'm doing all right, but then I drift. Amen. And guess what, y'all? It's easier for me to rescue somebody else's child and rescue somebody else's daughter and counsel somebody else and counsel somebody else than my own children. And I want to let everybody know, no, I'm not saying, oh, I need to take off from church and spend time with my children. No, I was drugged to church and they're going to be drugged to church too. Amen. But what I'm saying is, when we get in that secret garden that my wife was singing about, we get in that secret place, it's a broken heart that God shows me the order and what he sets up in his church. And guess what, y'all? We can't get it in here. It don't start in here. It starts in our personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's through that lets me know I need to cut some of this busyness out. I need to cut some of this running and ripping and out. Y'all know you can lose weight. One time I was losing some weight and I said, somebody said, you on a diet? I said, yeah, it's a running and ripping diet. The ripping and running diet. Amen. And that's not healthy. Amen. And sometimes we have to learn how to cut some stuff out of our lives that's choking out the word of God. And we're going to look at that in the book of Mark. Amen. And that's why, listen, as our women got to know, as a mother, and we heard it yesterday, that a mother's job, listen, a mother has the greatest job in the world. She does. She has the greatest job in the world. You know why? Because it's the mother, the voice of a mother. Even when that child is in the room, even when that child is at a young age, that child is shaped. And I heard Dr. Charles Stanley talk about there were women that were pregnant that used to have him on playing in the background. Amen. And when that child became of age, they could still identify his voice. That's powerful. And listen, and let me tell y'all something. Listen, the devil is after the identity of our children. We see it in Daniel. He's trying to brainwash them. And instead of educate them, indoctrinate them by the things and the stuff in this world. And listen, and I'm to all the mothers in here, don't look down at your job as just, hey, I wish I could get my career going. And many of you got careers, because guess what? Both parents got to work. And if the father ain't there, you really got to work. Amen. But still, that job can't come before your responsibility as a mother. That comes first. And with this, amen, and with all this stuff and gender confusion and gender identity and gender inequity and all these things and guess what? I believe, listen, woman should get paid the same thing as a man, but a woman can't do what a man does. And guess what? I can't do what a woman does. Amen. I used to try to get my children dressed. There was a stint where my wife had to go to work. When she was still working, she had to go to work and be there at 6 o'clock. So it was my job to get my children dressed. And let me tell y'all something. I couldn't cut it. I just could not cut it. And one day I put Joshie was in a carrier. Caleb was like just a toddler, and he was a thick toddler too. And I put Joshie's clothes on Caleb and Caleb's clothes on Joshua. And I took him to the daycare, baby girl there, and she looked at the kids. And then she talked to my wife and listen. And then when it came time to dress my daughter and the stockings and the barrettes and the stuff, and my wife would have everything laid out. She said, this is all you got to do. You don't know when she put the clap to it. She's serious. This is all you got to do. And guess what? I just couldn't, man, look. Them tights, them stockings, that stuff, and you had to put stuff on. I had the stuff outside of the other stuff. Amen. And I wasn't doing it. I was trying my hardest. Amen. There are men that are doing it. Amen. We thank God for them. And then when it came to doing the hair, forget it. I'm not made like her. And she's not made like me. And there are roles that God has established in the home. Amen. And as a people, as a country, as a nation, as a world, we've left the foundation of how God has instituted the home. Amen. I ain't going to turn to Ephesians 5, but it talks about wives submitting themselves to their own husbands. Right? A lot of times in the counseling session, when I'm counseling people, and we get to that verse, some of the women be like, hold up now. What do you mean submit? But when we go on to show that the father, the man, the husband, you know what I'm saying? The baby daddy. Amen. The husband has the greater responsibility. Because guess what? He's to love his wife. How? As what? Christ loved the church. And how did he love the church? He gave his life for the church. And man, we had a couple counseling sessions, and by the time we got done explaining what the father's, what the husband's job is, guess what? The woman, that girl was like, oh, I understand it now. I don't mind submitting. Because guess what? Man, when we do marriage counseling, it's not about what color, the flowers, and the different things that she or he likes. Don't get me wrong, that stuff will find its place. But the number one thing in marriage counseling is knowing Christ first, being broken to that love first, individually first. Amen. And guess what? When a man or woman falls in love with Jesus Christ, guess what? I'll be the greatest husband in the world. Amen. She'll be the greatest wife in the world. And guess what, y'all? It took me and my wife 20 years to figure that out. And guess what? We're going to continue to grow. Guess what? I'm telling you, I'm blessed. Amen. We're blessed because of Christ. No goodness of my own. But it's only because of Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we talk about mothers, you have a great job. And some of the cards, I'm going to read some of the cards because one of them ties in to what we're dealing with that my kids, we picked out for my wife. One of them says, my amazing, awesome mom. You're awesome mom. Awesome. Phenomenal. Amen. And then Caleb. Some psychologists say a mom is the single most important element in the formation of a son's character. And then the inside says, in other words, I'm mostly your fault. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. But just to give some background, and I said, that's it right there, because that's what we're preaching about. The mother's role to form that child. Amen. In the womb. And listen, I'm not talking about my family, amen, but I'm telling you, my mother, Mother Janie Wright, amen, I thank God for her, amen. And one of the first memories that I had was when I was sick, about 4 or 5 years old. That's one of the first things I can remember. And all I can remember is my mom was right there by my bed. And by my side the whole time. So you can't tell me the hand that rocks the cradle. Guess what? It's the hand that speaks to the forming of our children. Amen? And listen, and there are so many forces in play that want to undermine the institution of that mother. There are so many forces in play that can, and listen, and when we undermine the structure of a family that God has set forth, we undermine a whole society. And there are forces at play. And all these things where the roles of the husband and wife are jacked up. And now they're forbidding to even get married. But you got to get married. Amen. If you want to be together. Amen. Shaq is not just a basketball court or player in the NBA. Amen. But when God convicted me to this message, He just broke my heart to the purpose of a mother and even my role as a father. Man, and the question I have is today, who is raising your children? Amen. Is it the cell phone? Is it the iPads? Is it the TikTok? We put stuff in front of them just for them to sit down and be quiet. And the quickest way, you got a problem with your cell phone? Guess what? Ask a 12-year-old. And he'll fix it for you. Because guess what? And they talk about we got to put certain things on the phones, right? That certain spyware and safetyware that they won't go on bad internet sites or just stuff. And guess what? As parents, we got to get educated to get even up on how to do that stuff. Because our children can show us how to do it. They got little calculators on their phone that they can hide their encrypted messages even in them. And guess what? Until your child start paying some bills in the house, guess what? Ain't nobody paying a cell phone bill in my house. You get in their business. And I thank God for Sister Claudia yesterday. Amen. Guess what, y'all? We're not called to be their friends. We're called, our love, amen. Our love even goes beyond that. Amen. We're called to be their parent. You're called to be their mother. Because guess what? Real love looks after their mishaps or warns them of the trouble and the danger coming down the road. Bible says in Titus, I believe in chapter 1 or chapter 2, it says, likewise, women, you're to be sober, not given to wine. Put the wine away. Amen? And the younger women, the older women ought to teach the younger women, amen, how to be just mature, how to be mothers. And she did yesterday, she did an example that we can't run around with stuff and body parts hanging out. Amen. Amen. She said, and she said, sometimes you got to check yourself. She said, I do the jump test. And jump like this. Amen. So I'm sorry, Sister Claudia, jump like that. And she said, if something shake out or something hang out or something fall down, guess what? You need to get another dress. Amen. And guess what? Ain't nobody here got a right to pick on anybody else. Because some of our older women been where the younger women are. But somewhere along the way, the older women forget that what they used to be. Listen, y'all. That's why we have to be broken to the love of Christ. We can't just look down our nose at some young girl struggling with some kids. Amen. Some young kids and some young baby and just want to beat them up in the church. No, we can't do that. But if you're broken to the love of Jesus Christ, you'll be able to talk to her the right way. You'll be able to look that mother in the eye, that young mother, and say, baby, I love you. Amen. And guess what? I remember my father. I remember my grandmother, Mother Bussy. So many mothers that, listen, you couldn't help but knew that they loved you. And the reason why, I don't say nothing to them. Because you know why? There's a spirit of bitterness that needs to be broken in our lives. Because what's what? If you really love Jesus, y'all help me to calm down. I had some coffee last week. Amen. And I said, Jesus, help me, because I don't want the message to get missed. Amen. I was wired up last week. Amen. Y'all just pray for me. Amen. But guess what? When I grab a hold of this word and this word grabs a hold of me, I can't help myself. And I pray to be that father. I pray to be that preacher. I pray to be that husband. That the love of Christ is dripping from me like my grandmother. That you're able to get, because when my grandmother says something to you, you couldn't help but to take it in truth and take it in love. Don't you want to be that person? Amen. Man, I had a father, boy, that could get with anybody on any level. Whether you were in the gutter, on crack cocaine, he would go in the crack houses. Whether you were the president of a nation. Guess what? He could get with anybody. And when you know who you are, and when you know whom you are, you can be who you are. You can love those that talk about you. You can love those even when they turn their face up at you, because the love of Christ will be dripping from your pores. And you'll have the can't help us. Amen. Man, look. I got some ink pens and some pencils up here. I grabbed some out of my car. I said, I was studying, man, and I was like, man, this is going to be a Bible study. So if it turns into a Bible study, y'all just write down these points. Amen. If you need a pen or a pencil, I'm going to put them up here. We're going to get in this word. Amen. Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. And when she could no longer hide Moses, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the children therein. And she laid flags which were like weeds by the riverbank. Amen. And verse 5 of our text says, "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down and washed herself. And when she opened the baby, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept. Then the sister of Pharaoh's daughter said, I'll go and I'll call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women." How about that? Ain't God? Look at God. When we're obedient to God. And she was obedient to the Lord. Amen. And she put Moses in the river. Amen. In that same Nile river. Amen. That God led this woman to do what she did. Amen. And not only that, but the same child, she was able to take this child and nurse it. And she said, "I will give you wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. That child had no problem latching on because that child was already familiar with that mother because she had him already. Amen. And when we see, talk about the influence of a godly a mother. Amen. And we talk about the shaping of a child in the home. Habit patterns are embedded in your mind. And so when we talk about the shaping of the home and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the first shaping process starts in the home. And so the first point that I have is she shaped his identity. Amen. She shaped his identity. Amen. And guess what, y'all? The first shaping starts in a home. Mothers, don't look down on your job. And guess what? There was a point in time where we couldn't keep up. And I couldn't keep up. And my wife had to let go of her job for a couple years. For a lot of years. And guess what? You all know God blessed our home more than he did when we were both working. Amen? He blessed our home more than when we were both working. Amen? And guess what? We're shaped in that home. The home ought to be a shaping ground. Amen? And when we talk about be not transformed to this world, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Dr. Charles Stanley also says, be transformed by the renewing of your grid system. The grid system. Y'all know what the grid system is? The grid system is those reactions and those formulas and those chemicals and those things that make up an end product. Amen? The grid system is the things that happen to us. The grid system is somebody rejected us. The grid system is somebody didn't love me. The grid system is somebody touched me when I was young. Amen? And guess what? When a mother is a mother, she won't let anybody into her home. Amen. You might even have some relatives that, my child can't go over that house. I love them. Amen. But God gives a sense of sensibility, just a nurturing to a mother. And I've seen it where something can happen to a child. I'm telling you, this is true. And that mother will be like, she won't even be in the child's presence. But there's a sense that God can give even a mother that's not saved. And they can say, something's wrong. They can look at a child, even beyond the father, and be like, something ain't right. Even you can take a child to a daycare or to a school or whatever, and something may not be right. And that's a mother. That's a God-given instinct that only God can give. Don't ignore that. Hebrews 11:23 says this: by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months. And his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then the Bible says, Hebrews 11:24, by faith, Moses, when he was come 2 years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's because Moses had a godly mother that implanted his true identity in him. And so when the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter, she gave the natural mother of the child, and she took him and she nursed him. And I believe she prayed over him. I believe that she spoke over him. Amen. I believe that she did some things over him that even when he became of age, he knew that he did not belong to Pharaoh's court. Amen. And that's why he says, rather choosing to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had his mind made up. And he said, for God I'm going to serve. Because he was shaped in that home. And I want to let y'all know right now, when we talk about the word of God, amen, y'all know the devil hates the word. Y'all know that? Listen, we can come in here, we can shout. We can have a shouting good time. And I said it last week. Man, the enemy will be sitting down saying, go ahead and give them some praise. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and cry. Go ahead and riff and sing and do all these things. And that's why I pulled them pencils out, that we take this word down and we take it back to our classes. Amen. Listen, not only was he shaped in his identity, but guess what? She imparted the word in him. So she shaped his identity and she imparted the word. And I thank God for so many men in the Bible were shaped by the word. Amen. Daniel purposed in his heart. Amen. That they would not partake of the king's meats and of Babylon's indoctrination. Timothy with Lois and Eunice, his mother and his grandmother. But I don't say too much about his father. He was a Greek, and we don't believe at that time he was even saved. But guess what? God still, he instilled something in Timothy. Even so much that Timothy, when another man came into his life, he can embrace this man as a father. Amen. And not be rejective to him. Amen. Not only that, but Hannah and Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible said that and she couldn't conceive, and her husband was a mess. He was like, well, you can't conceive, but guess what? You got me. She was like, later for that. Okay? Amen? But she prayed. Amen? And the man of God, guess what? God honored her request. Read 1 Samuel. I see too many people don't know about that story, but read 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 11. And we know Samuel became a great man of God that stood on the truth, because that mother said, I'm going to dedicate him to you, God. And guess what, y'all? Our children don't belong to us. Amen. And some people live their lives through their children. I tell my children all the time, whether you be great in sports or great in academics, just be who you are in Christ. And that's good enough for me. Some parents think, well, because I didn't make it, but my child's going to make it. That's the worst thing you can put on a child. You want them to be something because you want something. Amen. You want nothing. And you were something. But guess what? The greatest thing that we can do for a child is have them to be who they are in Christ. And love them, love them, love them. Amen. Proverbs 1:8 says, hear my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And also goes on to say that, listen, take the word and put it around your neck. Bind the word, the memory of the word. Amen. Psalms 119, I believe verse 11 or 10. How can a young man what? Cleanse his ways. By what? Taking heed to the word of God. And I thank God for the Sunday school program a couple of weeks ago to see these babies getting the word. To see these toddlers quoting the word. And then this one little young girl came up and she did a prayer that day. And I'm like, that's it right there. Guess what, church? It's not about us. Some people only cared about their own stuff. Some people only worried about their own destiny. Amen. They're only worried about their own career. And guess what? They miss the children. Children being raised by TikTok, Facebook and everything else and Disney and all this other stuff. And guess what? The mother is no longer rocking the cradle. But the devil comes right in and he starts rocking the crib. Amen. And these things are implanted and engrafted in the children. But guess what? It's not too late. Somebody say it's not too late. You might have missed your assignment from years 1 to 10. Maybe 15, 16, and 17. I don't care if they're 31. Get with your children. If they're 35, still get with your children. You might have missed some assignments. You can let them know. It's okay. You can apologize. But guess what? Don't hesitate to tell them the truth. Don't hesitate to let them know that you love them. The Bible says train up your children in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not what? Depart from you. Amen. I didn't see it then in my life. I didn't see it. But we got to be able to see something in our children when they can't even see it for themselves. Amen. Thank God for parents and people in my life that saw something in me. Hallelujah. Before I could see it in myself. Listen, the Bible says greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. You've got to know what you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that leads me to my next point. We've got to be rooted and grounded in the word. So listen, not only that, not only does she shape his identity, but she implanted, imparted the word. Amen. What is stronger than the word of God? What she implanted in him was stronger than the house of Pharaoh and what the Pharaoh implanted in him. Amen. Moses would lead the children of Israel, part the Red Sea. He would receive the Ten Commandments. And even before they got out of Egypt, he would take the lamb, institute the Passover as directed by God. And that's why we celebrate the Passover, which is Easter. And every day is the Passover. And y'all know how critical that was. Moses, a type of Christ. That he told Moses to take the lamb and put it over the doorpost of the house. Put the blood, snatch the leg, put the blood over the doorpost. We've got to learn how to anoint our houses. We got to learn how to pray with our children. They ought to be able to see you on your knees. Sometimes they bust in my office sometimes. And they'll see me on my knees. You know what they do? They back right out. Sometimes they go to bed with a dry forehead. And they wake up with a wet one. They got oil on their head. Somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind. And took the time and prayed for me. We've got to know how to pray for our children. And guess what? I pray for everybody's children. And I'm going to be honest, but there's no praying. Listen, but there's no praying like praying for your own children. Amen. Because we know them. And you know them. And listen, I'm going to say something else. There should be not no day that goes past that you don't bring your children before the Lord. That's all of our jobs, to pray. Not just the preacher's job. Amen. We've got to learn how to pray for them. Cover them and keep them. Amen. Amen. And she had compassion, amen, on her son, that mother. Amen. And we got to be rooted and grounded in the word of God. And I said it before, and I'm going to say it again, the devil will do anything to keep us out of the word. Y'all listen. The devil will do anything, amen, to keep you from word application. We've got to apply this word. It's not enough just to know it and to quote it. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Amen. Mark chapter 4. Amen. Amen. Listen to this. Verse 13 says this. And he said unto them, know ye not of this parable? And how then will he know all parables? The sower that soweth the word. And these are they by the way. side where the word is sown. But when they had heard the word, Satan, he cometh immediately and he taketh away the word and was sown that was sown in their hearts. Amen. And verse 16 says this, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness. That means they received it with goodness. But it was not broken. They received it on the surface. And guess what? There are people that have been in the church all of their lives that can do church on the surface, but nothing's ever clicked in their heart. Where strongholds were broke in their families, or generational curses, or territorial spirits. That's why we always sing, our hearts must be broken to the word. That means till something clicks, till something happens. Amen. They were not broken to the word. That's number one. So these are the points after the points. Y'all just write them down. Verse 17 says, and have not no root in themselves, and endure but for a time. But afterwards, when affliction and persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately, somebody say immediately. They are offended. So they're not broken to the word, and they have a surface relationship. And then verse 18 says this, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering it. This is what all of our business, and this is what God broke my heart to. He said, don't get too busy. And there were some things after we left out of here, I just had to let go. Stop trying to be everybody's hero. Because guess what? If I can't allow myself to be broken and get somewhere to hear the word of God, I'm no good to my wife, I'm no good to my children, and I'm no good to the church. Amen? Amen? And this is, the word was not prioritized. So the cares of this world, the deceitful riches, the lust of other things entering in, it choked the word and becometh unfruitful. Amen. So we got not broken to the word. The word was on the surface. And number three, the word was not prioritized. Amen. We're going to have to do a sermon supplemental next week and just write these notes down. Amen. And put it in the bulletin. That's all right? And these are they which are sown, verse 20, on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth some 30-fold, 60, and some 100. That's where the word is applied. Because the word has to be applied to our hearts. Amen? And how many know, listen, how many know, when, and I keep talking about this word, this verse, Romans 12 and 2, which says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. By the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? We renew our minds by the word of God. Because see, when we're saved, the Holy Ghost comes in on the inside. But guess what? He comes in, our body is still the same. Amen. They sang the song, I looked at my hands looked new, and I looked at my feet, and they did too. No, they didn't. You still got the same old hands. You still got the same old feet. Amen. And guess what, y'all? You still have the same old mind. And that's why our minds have to be renewed day by day. That we can sing like the three Hebrew boys. And then when they tried to get them to bow down to the statue. And they said they purpose in their heart that they will not be indoctrinated to the things of the world. Amen. And I thank God that also it talks about in Daniel. And I thank God for Reverend Williams. He says, guess what, y'all? We've got to be rooted so deep in Jesus Christ. And we've got to know that the roots, listen, I read where the roots of a tree, guess what, are bigger than the tree itself. Stop focusing on what it looks like in the fruit and what it looks like in the tree. But guess what? We've got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And I thank God when we're rooted in Jesus Christ. See, what we want to do, we want to wait till something happens. And then all of a sudden, you've been running like the devil for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Then all of a sudden, something happens, and then you try to get in the Word. But we can't wait till things happen. But day by day, we must get in this Word of God. Amen. And the Bible says that when they were going to throw in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to give thee an answer in this matter. But it be so, God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace and will deliver us unto thy hand, out of thy hand. But if not, somebody say, but if not. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, he was full of fury, and his visage changed. Amen. And we know the rest, that they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And then when they were bound, in verse 21, in their coats and in their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, and the flame of the fire slew the men, even the men that put them in there. And how many know when God brings you out, he don't have to do the job. When God brings you out, amen, he's going to show himself worthy. He's going to show himself able. He's going to show himself strong. The Bible says that even when they got out the fire, they didn't smell like smoke. That even when they got like out the fire, you know how when you go in the Wawa and you come out and your clothes are smelling like cigarette smoke. But how in the world can the fire burn up the other men? They turn it up 7 times hotter. But guess what? They said, I see one in there. Verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar king was astonished. Hallelujah. And he rose up. And he spake, and he said unto his counselors, did we not throw 3 men in the fiery furnace? And he answered and said unto them, O king, true, O king. And he said, lo, I see a 4th man, loose, walking in the midst of the fiery furnace, and they have no hurt. And he looks like the form. The 4th is like the Son of God. When you know that you know that you know that you've been wrapped up, tied up, tangled up, when you know that the roots of the Word of God have dug down deep, guess what you need to know? Guess what? He will validate you. He will keep you in perfect peace with your mind. Stay on thee. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Guess what, church? But his delight, when you know how much he loves you, when you know how much he cares for you. The Bible says, why in the world would he die for me? I'll never know why he loved me. I'll never know why he cared. I'll never know why he died on that cross. I'll never know why they whipped him in his side. I'll never know why he took it from me. I'll never know why the Father would turn his back on his only Son. But guess what, church? That's how much he loved you. That's how much he cared about you. That's how much that he would send his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. I'm wrapped up, and that love will blow your mind. Amen. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Somebody say new. New creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. Guess what, church? We got to catch up. Somebody say, I got to catch up. Listen, we've got to catch up to who Christ says you are. Amen. We don't get another allotment of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I got everything I need in Christ. You ain't got to run around the church 50 times. You ain't got to get crazy and sweat it out like me. But when you know that you're rooted, guess what? You don't have to run, chase peer pressure and chase a boy or chase these images that they're putting on the internet. When you know who you are in Christ, $2 in my pocket, a whisk sandwich on the table. I'm serious. Listen, I think I would not want to be anybody else in the world. I wouldn't. I thank God. When you know who you are, I thank God for who I am in Christ. I love my life. Y'all know that? I love this life that I have. I love this. Anybody love this life that they have in Christ? And we see images and stuff on Facebook and TikTok, and we think we want to be like them. These people are so miserable. Just as confused and jacked up. And if your God could put you in their shoes, you'd be like, man, put me back in my own shoes. Whether you got a man, whether you're married or not. Listen, you can't love yourself until you fall in Jesus Christ. You fall into his arms. Amen. We've got to know. And the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That means we've got to grow in who we are. That's what the Bible does. It puts those roots in us. As we're praying through Daniel. And I'm telling y'all something. I pray in 5 years, we go through the whole Bible. And to hear these preachers teach and expound on the word of God. And the devil wants to attack it, don't he? He tried to get on that line on Friday. I tried to get in and say something. I couldn't say nothing. Listen, y'all, there's nothing more important, bar none, than establishing an identity in our children. Through the word of God. Because guess what? I got the same mind. I got the same emotions that I had before I was saved. And I got the same feelings. I got the same mind, will, and emotions. But guess what? Now that Christ lives in me, the rest of me has to catch up. That those things that don't fit who you are, those friends that don't fit who you are, hanging out in the club and doing all these things, smoking weed, drinking, and all this stuff. The devil is after our young people. And he's after our parents. And I'm telling you, listen, the greatest joy that I have is when I'm all alone by myself. And I look at the fact, the mess that I make of myself, but the fact of how much he loves me. And I'm overwhelmed of this love. The Bible says in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. And you shall know the what? Truth. The truth of who you are now. Man, got to dress like everybody else. I got to act like everybody else. We ain't got to do what everybody else is doing in the church. What other churches are doing. We got one roadmap. And that's this word. We've got to be anchored. That our roots spread out so deep underground. Nobody sees our study. Nobody sees our pain. And I heard them talking about yesterday. They were saying sometimes we can get on our knees and some people have a hard time getting up off their knees. Y'all know what my secret closet is? It's a pillow. I got two of them. My wife switched out the pillows and I got two of them. They're my knee pillows. He's called him Camel Joe. Because he had camel knees. You got to wear them knees out. And then sometimes you got to stretch out. On the Lord. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise in here as we stand to our feet. The influence of a godly mother. We can't put other things before our children. We can't put other places or other people before. Don't run out on your kids with careers and other things. And if there's somebody here and you don't know this love of Jesus Christ, you can come right now and give your life to Jesus. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And if you don't know Christ, you will end up in the lake of fire. And guess what? We don't preach to try to scare anybody, because that don't work. But we preach that people might be validated in the word of God, that you might know how much Jesus loves you. So if there was one that would like to give their life, as the men sing, you can come right now down this altar and accept them into your heart today. Is there one?